Today in Business from Wired.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Here's how generative AI depicts queer people. Wired investigates how artificial intelligence tools like OpenAI's Sora currently portray members of the LGBTQ community. Hint, it's a lot of purple hair. By Reese Rogers. Yes, San Francisco is a nexus of artificial intelligence innovation, but it's also one of the queerest cities in America. The Mission District, where ChatGPT maker OpenAI is headquartered, butts up against the Castro, where sidewalk crossings are coated with rainbows and older nude men are often seen milling about. And queer people are joining the AI revolution. So many people in this field are gay men, which is something I think few people talk about, says Spencer Kaplan, an anthropologist and PhD student at Yale who moved to San Francisco to study the developers building generative tools. Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, is gay. He married his husband last year in a private beachfront ceremony. Beyond Altman and beyond California, more members of the LGBTQ community are now involved with AI projects and connecting through groups like Queer in AI. Founded in 2017 at a leading academic conference, a core aspect of Queer in AI's mission is to support LGBTQ researchers and scientists who have historically been silenced, specifically transgender people, non-binary people, and people of color. Queer in AI, honestly, is the reason I didn't drop out, says Anayelia Ovalle, a PhD candidate at UCLA who researches algorithmic fairness. But there is a divergence between the queer people interested in artificial intelligence and how the same group of people is represented by the tools their industry is building. When asked about the best AI image and video generators to envision queer people, they universally responded with stereotypical depictions of LGBTQ culture. Despite recent improvements in image quality, AI-generated images frequently presented a simplistic, whitewashed version of queer life. Using Midjourney, another AI tool, to create portraits of LGBTQ people, the results amplified commonly held stereotypes. Lesbian women are shown with nose rings and stern expressions. Gay men are all fashionable dressers with killer abs. Basic images of trans women are hypersexualized, with lingerie outfits and cleavage-focused camera angles. How image generators depict humans reflect the data used to train the underlying machine learning algorithms. This data is mostly collected by scraping text and images from the web, where depictions of queer people may already reinforce stereotypical assumptions, like gay men appearing effeminate and lesbian women appearing butch. When using AI to produce images of other minority groups, users might encounter issues that expose similar biases. According to Midjourney's outputs, bisexual and non-binary people sure do love their textured lilac-colored hair. Keeping the hair-coded representation going, Midjourney also repeatedly depicted lesbian women with the sides of their heads shaved and tattoos sprawling around their chests. When race or ethnicity weren't added to the Midjourney prompt, most of the queer people it generated looked white. The AI tool failed at depicting transgender people in a realistic way. When asked to generate photos of a trans man as an elected representative, Midjourney created images of someone with a masculine jawline who looked like a professional politician, wearing a suit and posing in a wooden chair, but whose styling more closely aligned with how a feminine trans woman might express herself, a pink suit, pink lipstick, and long frizzy hair. Saurajat Ghosh, a PhD candidate who researches the design of human-centered systems, explains how another widely used image generator, Stable Diffusion, conceptualizes personhood. It considers non-binary people the least person-like, or farthest away from its definition of person. In his research, Ghosh found that when Stable Diffusion was asked to depict an unspecified person, images of fair-skinned men from Western countries were most common. Images of non-binary people were rare and sometimes made up of an eerie collage of human-esque features. What can be done to improve generative AI tools and make outputs more aligned with the reality queer people experience? One possible way to further develop these algorithms is to focus on well-labeled data that includes additional representations of LGBTQ people from around the world, though they may be hesitant to trust AI startups with personal information. In order for us to improve those systems, we need better data, says Sonia Katyal, a co-director at the Berkeley Center for Law and Technology and co-author of the Gender Panopticon. But we are asking populations that have been targeted by the law and targeted by companies to share data and run the risk of perhaps feeding into a system that hasn't yet demonstrated a true desire for equal treatment. Another potential strategy to diversify the output of AI models is for developers to add guardrails and modify their prompts, nudging the software toward inclusivity. OpenAI appears to have taken this approach. While helpful in some cases, the altering of prompts also can be frustrating for users when poorly implemented. Google CEO apologized when Gemini, Google's generative AI platform, altered user prompts and generated photos of black Nazis, as well as other ahistorical images. Was there a secret plot inside the company to erase Caucasian people from history? It's more plausible that Gemini's engineers found the tool initially overproduced images of white men, like many AI tools currently do, and Google's devs appear to have overdone their corrective tweaks during the rush to launch the company's subscription chatbot. Even with better model data and software guardrails, the fluidity of human existence can evade the rigidity of algorithmic categorization. They're basically using the past to make the future, says William Agnew, a postdoctoral fellow at Carnegie Mellon and longtime queer and AI organizer. It seems like the antithesis of the infinite potential for growth and change that's a big part of queer communities. By amplifying stereotypes, not only do AI tools run the risk of wildly misrepresenting minority groups to the general public, these algorithms also have the potential to constrict how queer people see and understand themselves. It's worth pausing for a moment to acknowledge the breakneck speed at which some aspects of generative AI continue to improve. In 2023, the internet went ablaze, mocking a monstrous AI video of Will Smith eating spaghetti. A year later, text-to-video clips from OpenAI's unreleased Sora model are still imperfect but are often uncanny with their photorealism. Agnew brought up why algorithmic representations can be unnerving for LGBTQ people. It's trivial to get them to combine things that on their own are fine but together are deeply problematic, they say. I'm very worried that portrayals of ourselves, which are already a constant battleground, are suddenly going to be taken out of our hands. Even if AI tools include more holistic representations of queer people in the future, the synthetic depictions may manifest unintended consequences. Thanks for listening to Wired. My name is Zeke Robison, and for more stories like this one, visit us at wired.com.
Spoken Layer.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.